Do you think that if Quebec separates from Canada, do you think it will have a big impact on the rest of Canada?
Do you I don't think it does, but I hope they go.
It'll only hurt the Quebec people. It won't hurt anybody else. They're the only ones that's going to lose.
Let them go. I don't care. I'll survive without them.
Of Canada's 23 million people, approximately 6 million are French-speaking, and the majority of that francophone community live in the province of Quebec, the heartland of French-speaking Canadians for 3.5 centuries. For almost 2 decades now, the issues of bilingualism and Quebec separatism have been smoldering. The separatist movement of the 1960s gave birth to the Parti Québécois, a social democratic party whose program includes sovereignty association, a form of political independence from Canada, accompanied by economic association with Canada. When the Parti Québécois won the 1976 provincial elections in Quebec, they promised that within 2 years, a referendum would be held whereby Quebecers could vote on the sovereignty association question. The referendum keeps being pushed back, and now the party suggests an early 1980 date. But in the meantime, the discussion of separatism in Quebec has created pressures on the federal government of Canada, inspiring an effort in recent years to rewrite Canada's antiquated constitution, largely to address the issue of provincial autonomy versus federal authority. 3 weeks ago, a task force on Canadian unity issued a report concluding that Canada was in a crisis of existence. This task force described the conflict in Canada between the French and English as dualism, and the provincial muscle flexing as regionalism, recommending a restructured federation with respect for diversity. Jim Turk, who teaches Canadian history at the University of Toronto, says the problem with the task force report is that it doesn't look at the historical roots of the conflict between the French and English, a conflict dating back to 1760 when the British conquered the French colonizers.
At the time of the conquest, in fact, it was a very prosperous and growing colony. It was the most urbanized, if you can use that word, for the 1760s. It was the most urbanized colony in North America. After the conquest, the anyone who was Catholic was barred from administrative position and from most of the types of jobs, and the only alternative was really a return to the land. And so for a period of about 100 years, French Canadians were in a position where they could not very easily exercise any of the powers that they had exercised previously, and turned to agricultural pursuits largely as the only option available to the majority of them. And the church came to play a central role in maintaining the separate identity as French Canadians.
According to Professor Turk, no amount of constitutional tinkering can redress the fact that as Canada industrialized, the British were in control of business and the French were excluded. Professor Alex McLeod, who teaches political science at the University of Quebec in Montreal, says that although Quebec is rich in resources and English-owned companies prospered, the French-speaking community remained the poorest in Canada.
It was an agreement between, shall we say, the top ruling people from Britain and the church that temporal affairs would be in the hands of the church as far as Quebec was concerned, whereas big politics would be in the hands of Anglophones, and people got on very well with that. And as far as business was concerned, that would be in the hands of Anglophones, and Francophones wouldn't have to worry about it. Business was sinful, that it represented something which Francophones didn't need to know anything about. This was the French church saying this. And for a long time, of course, Francophones then just left business in the hands of other people.
French-speaking provincial politicians in Quebec were often conservative, paternalistic, and corrupt, like the regime of Maurice Duplessis, Premier of Quebec for 14 years. When Duplessis died in 1959, the seeds of change were ready to explode. Outsiders remember the bombings and kidnappings of the terrorist organization FLQ during this period. But for Quebecers, the 1960s were the years of the Quiet Revolution, a period of institutional reform and modernization. One of the leading members of the new political regime was René Lévesque, who in 1962 nationalized the province's hydroelectric industry. In 1967, frustrated by the federal orientation of the Liberal Party, Lévesque founded the Parti Québécois and formulated the concept of sovereignty association for Quebec. Another founder of the Parti Québécois was Pierre Bergoglio, who during the early 60s was president of a large separatist organization.